When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If the Steelers won the draft, why are their playoff odds so bad? Welcome to the Steelers Update from Penn Live, where we keep track of all things Steelers. So you don't have to. This is John Lucy reporting. A once weary Steelers nation is again giddy with gridiron joy. Pittsburgh, always a down and dirty lunch pail town, is welcoming its trio of big, ugly draft picks on the offensive line with open arms. After several seasons of putrid O-line play, this unit is now the deepest one on the team. Enter new run-crazy offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, and the Steelers are poised to, quote, roll some people, as coach Mike Tomlin quipped. But the upgrades to the 2024 team don't stop there. If you believe all the gushing praise being given over to the Steelers' draft selections all across the NFL nation, the team snagged the second coming of wide receiver legend Hines Ward, this in the form of Michigan's Roman Wilson. Like Ward, Wilson relishes blocking almost as much as making game-breaking catches. In short, the Acrisure Stadium crowd is going to love him. I can almost hear the roars of Rome right now. Much like an infomercial pitch, that's still not all. The Steelers just might have swiped the steal of the draft in fourth round by taking speedy, tough-nosed inside linebacker Peyton Wilson out of NC State. He's supposedly a Luke Kuechly clone, only bigger and faster. And that's not me saying this. It's Kuechly himself who has been gushing nonstop about Wilson, who just happens to idolize fellow NC State alum Bill Cowher. Someone on the NFL Network is already on record predicting the Steelers' new pair of Wilsons, Roman and Peyton, will win the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year and the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, respectively. In other words, the Steelers' draft hype is real, and it's national. In the 412 area code, the always skeptical, often critical Steelers media are also hailing the draft haul orchestrated by GM Omar Khan and his top assistant Annie Wild as nothing short of a virtuoso performance. Pittsburgh supposedly reloaded with, quote, potential starters with the first five picks, unquote. With last year's first-rounder Broderick Jones, the addition of this year's first two selections, Troy Fontenot and Zach Frazier, respectively, the Steelers boast, quote, two bookend tackles and a center for the next decade, unquote. In fourth-rounder Mason McCormick, Pittsburgh now enjoys an embarrassment of riches, not to mention depth on the O-line that hasn't been there in years. The future is bright, right? Well, I guess it depends how far into the future Steelers fans are gazing. Because if one checks out the betting odds for the coming 2024 season, they're still not looking that good for Pittsburgh. Forget about the Steelers finally winning a playoff game for the first time in seven seasons. Vegas, which always puts its mouth where the money is, has the Steelers underwater when it comes to simply making the 2024 postseason. Bet Online says Pittsburgh has a 65.5% chance of going home after the regular season. As for making up ground in the loaded AFC North, arguably the NFL's best division, the Steelers' draft didn't move the needle there either. Once again, Bet Online has Pittsburgh dead last with plus 700 odds to best Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland and win the AFC North. The Ravens remain in pole position for the division crown with plus 25 odds, with the Bengals close on their feathers at plus 175. The Browns lag, but not as much as the Steelers, with plus 500 odds. So what gives? It all goes back to continued question marks at the NFL's most important position, quarterback. Russell Wilson, the presumed Pittsburgh starter, was just paid very handsomely by Denver to simply go away. Chicago could barely give away Justin Fields, and the Steelers have already declined the latter's fifth-year option at $25 million. Until the Steelers, along with the betting public, sees what they have behind center, the Steelers' viability in a QB-dominated AFC will remain in doubt. The draft deepened the Steelers' roster. There's no doubt about that. There is more talent on this team than in the past several seasons, and foundational pieces have been put in place on the offensive line that should solidify this unit for the next decade to come. But at the very top of the lineup, there is a to-be-determined sign. As good and as savvy as Kahn and company have been in revamping the roster over the past 2 years, there is work to be done. The Steelers and those two new QBs, with everything on the line, need another playmaking wide receiver on the outside to pair with George Pickens and Roman Wilson. This week saw a flurry of reports about Kahn working the phones, trying to dial up a wide receiver deal with as many as six different NFL teams. But when asked about a looming trade for a, quote, premium pass catcher on the Pat McAfee show, Kahn said there was nothing going on. No blockbuster deal was in the works to put the 2024 team over the top. I say, don't believe it. The Steelers have got to realize they have to provide their pair of passers with every chance to succeed this season. If they don't, Pittsburgh will be among the teams desperately scrambling for a quarterback in next year's draft. This position is so preeminent in the NFL, six teams fell all over themselves to draft, indeed in several cases, overdraft passers in this draft just last week. Quarterbacks comprise precisely half of the first dozen players off the board. This is the primary reason why so much talent fell to teams like Pittsburgh. And the last thing the Steelers want is to be forced next year to take a passer and pray. Right now, that seems to be the formula for teams who lack a quality quarterback in the NFL. And we have much more on the universally positive fallout from this Steelers draft in this A-plus edition of your Steelers Update podcast. And be sure to check out my full print column first thing Thursday on Penn Live. As always, it will be packed with plenty of memes, bringing all the latest, greatest Steelers draft buzz to life and to laughs. Right now, let's get right to it. This Steelers draft is poised to make an immediate impact week one of the regular season. And I'm not just talking about all the national NFL guru hype that's swirling around the Steelers right now. I'm speaking of the reliable opinions emanating from Pittsburgh from the dedicated beat writers who cover this team day in and day out. They know its needs, they know its deficiencies, and they know what has been added over this past offseason. For example, here's how the normally reserved Mark Caboli, team beat writer with The Athletic, sizes up the outsized impact of the Steelers' top three draft picks, all poised to make a splash early and often in 2024. Caboli writes, quote, offensive tackle Troy Fountenau, center Zach Frazier, and receiver Roman Wilson, the first three picks, have not only the pedigree, but also somewhat of a clear path to start immediately. The Steelers used three of their first five picks on the offensive line for the first time since 1976, and their first two on the O-line for the first time since David DeCastro and Mike Adams were drafted in 2012. They wanted to build out their offensive line with high-end talent, and that's what they've done the past 2 years with Fontenot, Frazier, and Broderick Jones, all in the draft, and then Samalo in free agency. Coach Mike Tomlin said Fontenot will play tackle, but was non-committal about which side of the line he'd be on. All of Fontenot's college experience was on the left side, and Broderick Jones impressed last year at right tackle. So why not keep him there? Though it is all set up for Fontenot to start week one, the Steelers still have a guy named Dan Moore on the roster. He started 49 games in three NFL seasons. It might sound unlikely right now, but he did hold off Broderick Jones last year, so it's always possible he holds off Fontenot, at least for the start of this year. Either way, this group has high pedigree and a lot of upside, unquote. All great stuff, sizing up this trenches-heavy draft by your Steelers. Meanwhile, in those receiving core, the all-important targets for the Steelers' new duo of QBs, there is Michigan's Roman Wilson. And according to Caboli, he was, quote, a steal in the third round and a much-needed addition after the departures of Deontay Johnson and Allen Robinson. Wilson is mostly a slot guy who catches the ball between the numbers and down the field, but he can play on the outside as well. Though Wilson fills a need, the Steelers still have to address the position in free agency or with a trade, unquote. And that, of course, what all about all the rumors swirling around Kahn's phone calls to all these different teams that then Kahn kind of poo-pooed on the Pat McAfee show. I'm telling you, there has to be some fire to go along with that smoke because the Steelers know they need to give these quarterbacks every possible chance to succeed this year, because if they don't, they're in a real quarterback quandary this time next year going into that draft. And you saw that ugly, ugly QB scramble at the top of the draft where a lot of those quarterbacks were overdrafted in those first 12 picks. And hey, Steelers benefited this time because the talent slid. But if they're among the teams scrambling next year, it is not going to be pretty for Pittsburgh. All right, so that's the take from Caboli, and it's pretty darn positive. But what about the dean of Steelers beat reporters? What does he say about the draft and its impact for the coming season and beyond? For this, we turn to Jerry Dulac with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who, again, has some gushing words for the torrent of talent Kahn and company captured in the draft. Dulac begins by saying the Steelers, quote, field needs at center, receiver, and inside linebacker, and got what they termed a special player in the form of Troy Fontenot with the 20th overall pick. What other team can draft three offensive linemen among the top five picks and still excite the fan base, not to mention themselves, unquote? Great question from Dulac. And of course, in Pittsburgh, the big uglies were a beautiful sight to behold, especially after the Steelers fan base has endured several seasons of putrid line play. So will these big guys have that big impact everyone across Steelers Nation is expecting? And will that impact come early and often in 2024? Dulac breaks down the potential for each new Steelers player. On Troy Fontenot, taken at pick 20, he says, quote, "The Steelers had him ranked among the top 10 on their list of the best 20 players in the draft, and the number two tackle behind Joel Alt. So to get him where they did makes the pick a home run," unquote. Still, Dulac cautions that he may not start day one, not as long as Dan Moore remains on the team. But it's only a matter of time, Dulac assures us. He writes, quote, "They didn't draft him to sit on the bench. They will eventually find a way to get him in the starting lineup, even if it's at guard for the short term," unquote. Me, I think he's going to start at tackle and just get this new line solidified day one of the regular season. That's what I'd like to see. So where does second-round pick Zach Frazier, taken 51st overall, fit in this starting rebuilt offensive line? Dulac writes, quote, "There was no bigger need in the draft than to find a starting center. And the Steelers were somewhat fortunate to get Frazier where they did, especially after Jackson Powers Johnson was already off the board." Side note here for me, there was a lot of nervousness in the Steelers draft room, and there was a lot of questions, should they go up and trade up for Frazier? But they stood pat, he fell to them, and it solidified this A-plus draft. Now back to Dulac, he writes, quote, "Nonetheless, Frazier's style of play will work good on the interior and upgrade the one position on the line that needed a real boost," unquote. Boost may be underestimating the impact of this big-bodied, vice-grip college wrestling champ who also happens to play pigskin. And, you know, this is me talking, not Dulac, talking about the vice-grip, the wrestling champ. And I remember being a Johnstown guy, another wrestling guy that the Steelers turned into an offensive lineman. His name was Carlton Hasselrig. He played football in high school, but not in college. He went to UPJ and was a wrestling champion. And he came in for that cower power run game and was great, just simply great. He did have some sort of off the field issues that shortened his career, but it was not for lack of talent and for his athletic ability and honed in the wrestling game that translated perfectly to the offensive line. And I'm thinking Frazier has that same wrestling pedigree and potential to follow suit. In other words, the Steelers just might have another legend in the making at the center position that goes back to Mike Webster and runs through Damani Dawson and Marquise Pounce. I mean, wouldn't that be something to hit again at this center position in the middle of that O-line? Hey, only time will tell. We shall see. Last but not least on the O-line, here's Dulac's take on fourth-rounder Mason McCormick, who went 119th overall. Dulac writes, quote, "This certainly isn't a sexy pick for the first round, not after they already drafted their starting center, but it was another step to keep building depth on the offensive line," unquote. So much depth, Dulac is now declaring the Steelers have turned a glaring weakness into a strength. Quote, "The offensive line has become the deepest unit on the team over the past two seasons," unquote. That was intentional. Andy Weald came over from the Eagles, and he's from day one, he talked about targeting the big bodies on offensive line and defensive line, and it has come pass on that offensive line. For my money, this foundational investment in the O-line has been long overdue. I pray that it pays dividends in Pittsburgh for the next decade to come. But you will not have to wait nearly that long to see how this newly formed 2024 edition of your Pittsburgh Steelers takes shape. We'll be covering it all right here, from all the organized activities that are going to be starting soon to training camp to the preseason, right up until kickoff week one of the regular season. And of course, we don't know where that week one kickoff will take place yet. The schedule is going to be coming out probably within the next couple weeks, and we'll analyze that as well. But there's one thing you got to do. To get the Steelers update fresh and steaming with hot takes every Wednesday afternoon, sign up for the podcast wherever you get your favorite audio and podcasts. And of course, log on to PennLive.com anytime for your real-time Steelers news.